This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. We all know and love Dr. Kelly Cairns. She is a veterinarian and internal medicine specialist, and she is the VP of Excellence at over 400 Thrive Health Pet Care Hospitals. That's a lot. She must know what she's talking about. And she's here to talk about itchy kitties today. So we're going to take a break for this important word from our sponsor. And as soon as we get back, we'll find out what we need to know from the expert. See you shortly.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray. Or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Go to kittypooclub.com, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I'm your co-host, Linda Hall, here with the ever-gorgeous Rita Reimers.
I like the way you say that so exotic. Rita,
I know,
Reimers.
Rita Reimers. That was my favorite thing in ninth grade Spanish, was trilling my R's. So, yeah,
I've been called a lot of things, but this is the best.
Well, good. I'll remember that. So
I get itchy kitties sometimes. Sometimes they're scratching so much the whole bed shakes, and then I get paranoid. Do we have fleas? What is going on, Dr. Kelly? What's making our kitties itch so much?
Itchy kitties. You know, I love talking about kitties in general. I really love talking about itchy kitties.
Ooh,
itchy kitties. Well, I think we should start with, when a kitty is itchy, what does that look like? Because this is one of those things where cats are not small dogs. Because when a dog is itchy, what do?
They scratch nonstop. Yes, exactly. It's very obvious what they need.
Yeah, but cats, they may scratch, but a lot of cats can actually feel really itchy and you may never see them scratch, either because they groom. They over-groom, whether it's their fur, whether it's biting at their paws, or a lot of cats, when they're feeling really itchy, they'll do that scratching somewhere that you can't see them, in a closet, under a couch. But what you might find is just the aftermath. Thinning hair, scratches, excoriations, little lumps and bumps. And you think, what happened to this cat? Did this cat bump itself?
Yeah. Was there a fight? Did I miss it?
Yeah.
Catchy hair.
I've found bumps, especially behind the ears. I find them.
Yeah. If you find little bumps behind the ears where you're like, huh, looks like little tiny scabs. That cat probably was itching somewhere you didn't see it itching. So it's really important to recognize what a cat's going to look like when they are internally saying, I itch so bad.
I know my mom had quite a problem with one of her dogs itching. I mean, that poor thing would roll on the floor, and long story short, turned out to be a food allergy. How common is that in our cats?
It's pretty common. So a lot of things can cause itching in a cat, and food hypersensitivities or true food allergies are fairly common. But the first thing that your vet is going to want to rule out is going to be any sort of parasite, like a flea, fleas especially, or a tick, even for a kitty that's indoor only and never goes outside, because some cats can develop a really severe, what's called flea bite hypersensitivity, where simply one flea can do them in and trigger massive itch. But once your vet has ruled out those, what we call ecto outside parasites, like a flea sensitivity, then your vet is going to be looking to see if there could be a dietary allergy or potentially even an environmental allergy.
Interesting.
Even if we don't see it, the bumps are really a sign to us that says, hey, there's something going on, right? And the allergies, we had a dog years ago, the best dog that ever lived, Katie.
Katie.
She was a black, yeah, you know, she was a black lab mix. She was perfection. And she would get, like, start biting at her butt and get a bare spot. And then she'd be bleeding. And then it was an infection. And we took her to the vet. She was allergic to grass, which I found hysterically interesting that this dog is allergic to grass. Every spring we had to start her on prednisone. And this was a million years ago. I don't know if there's something better now, but you know, it was such a shock to me. And my kismet, who has FIV and is immunocompromised, he breaks out in those scabs. And they said it's a form of dermatitis from an allergy. They don't know for sure what, but they said it's probably something innocuous like dust, you know, something that there's nothing you could really do about. I mean, other than trying to keep it down to a minimum. So we just have to kind of tackle it as it comes along. So this is really a common thing.
Yeah. So, well, let's circle back to the itchy butt. That happens pretty commonly in cats as well as another thing you may see. If they are itchy, they could actually scoot your, they could scratch at, that. They could try to lick that, what we call perianal area below the tail. And your vet is, of course, going to want to make sure there's nothing going on with the anal glands or anything else in that area. But a lot of times that can be an indication of some sort of allergy, which cats and dogs get similar types of allergies. Both cats and dogs can get food allergies, most commonly to those common things that a lot of diets have. So in some cats, it's beef, it could be chicken, it could be turkey. Your vet will work with you to do a variety of elimination diets to figure out what could be triggering that allergy. Or there are environmental allergies. And as you do a systematic approach with your veterinarian, which we can talk about in a little bit, to rule things out, you might get to the point where your cat is being referred to a board certified dermatologist to do some special advanced tests. Cats can get allergy testing to certain things in the environment, just like people do, where they actually do the skin testing. There may or may not be some blood tests that are done as well.
Torture. I had that done. My husband had to hold my hands in front of me so I didn't scratch my back where they stuck them. But yes, I did not know. And what? So there are veterinary dermatologists. I did not know this was a specialty in veterinary medicine.
What is a common environmental allergy for a cat, Kelly?
Well, you know, again, cats can be a little weird. So let me back up and share that probably the most common category of environmental allergy is we don't know. We certainly can't test for everything. Having said that, by far the most common type of environmental allergy that a cat might have is an allergy to dogs.
I was going to ask that if cats could be allergic to dogs or dogs allergic to cats. Oh my gosh. Like,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just trying to mix it up.
That was a joke. I'm like, really? Oh my gosh.
We got to insert a little levity into the situation, but that could make a lot of sense for some cats, right?
It could. Yeah.
Cats and dogs, just like people, could be allergic to a variety of molds or spores that are, say, non-pathogenic fungi. Like, they don't inherently cause disease, but they're molds and spores, just like people, or other types of pollens or things related to grass or things that bud off of trees. So, you know, but again, the most common category is probably we don't know, but it's called a diagnosis of exclusion. Something is triggering this kitty's immune system to have a reaction it shouldn't to something. And then when we've worked out all the other things it could be, so, you know, I'm always a big fan of a systematic approach. Making sure there's no parasites, empirically treating for fleas, even if we are positive there's been no exposure to fleas. You know, little critters can get places. So treating for fleas, especially if there's other animals in the house, and then doing an elimination diet to see if this could be a sensitivity or an allergy to food. And then looking potentially to rule out those environmental allergens that we can test for that may have specific treatments, and then backing into presumptive, what we call the fancy word is atopy, which means environmental allergies. And then prednisone or prednisolone, which is a type of steroid, is one of many treatments. There's other things available nowadays that your veterinarian will talk to you about.
I like to avoid pred because it can cause some liver issues, I've read. Is that true?
Prednisone is probably one of the best drugs that does the most number of amazing things for a variety of conditions, and also that one of the drugs that has the most potential side effects. It's both a magic bullet for many, many different conditions and also has a lot of side effects. So most commonly increased thirst and appetite, sometimes some weight gain or muscle wasting, but there can be some, thankfully rare, but potentially more serious complications, including liver issues, including ulcers in the tummy or the intestine, including in a patient that's predisposed to diabetes, a tipping over the edge into a diabetic state.
So it's best used in a short-term situation.
That's what with Kismet, they said, you know, that the magic bullet for all the problems was prednisone, but being FIV positive and living the life that he lived a rough one for a bit there. His liver values are a little funky. They're not anything cause to be concerned, but they're not 100%. And we didn't want to add anything when something's kind of teetering on the edge that might push it to the wrong end.
I'm sorry, but let's look over Linda's shoulder for a moment.
I keep looking back there and dying. Those are the two clingy cats I was mentioning earlier that are really love starved right now, and they
don't
to
normally
each other for love
together.
No,
two.
They do not. And yeah, and that bed was not made for two, but they're making it work.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute. I'm sorry. Back to the topic.
And
I have cat ADD.
Neither of them are little things. I know. I kept looking over my shoulder, going, "That's so cute." But anyway, Annie said, "You know, we're probably going to have to have." We'd have to have him on it year round. And I just don't think that's a good idea. But he left me with that option if I couldn't deal. And I said, nah. So but it didn't ever cause Katie problems. But then again, she was only on it spring and towards like the middle of summer. Then we'd start taking her back off of it. So
yeah, I've heard that cats can have those seasonal pollen allergies just like people do. And I do notice a couple of my cats when I start getting affected, they do too, like Simba. If my eyes are itching, I notice his are also itching. So I'm guessing he's allergic to pollen like me.
Well, and it's circling back to what you said about fleas. We had a small dog and obviously quite a few cats. And every year, I don't know what it was about that dog. There's no flea medication that could handle it. That dog was a flea magnet and would bring them in from outside trips and spread it through the house. Every year we have a battle. It was very obvious. Like you said, she's like scratching up and you can look at her and see the fleas. Cats are such OCD groomers that when I went to look at the cat, many times I didn't see a flea. I bought a flea comb so that I could really scrape through and look for dirt, which I never found a flea. And they all had them and they had bumps and they had, so I know they had them.
Yes.
But they're grooming them off. So it was deceptive.
But then that can lead to internal parasites and worms. Isn't that right, Dr. Kelly?
Yeah, some fleas can carry and transmit certain type of bacteria as well as type of worm. Absolutely. This is an instance where cats are similar to people in that some cats will, again, have that severe allergic reaction to just one flea bite. And interestingly, a little bit of trivia, it's actually the protein in the saliva of the flea that triggers that what we call immune system allergic response. And those cats can be, I get to your point, you may not find any fleas or flea dirt because cats are good. They're fastidious at grooming, but especially in the individual who has an allergy and there's like one flea named Harry, and you're certainly not going to find him. But the damage is done and the cat is having a massive allergic reaction, kind of like people who might have a hypersensitivity to insect bites. I do. I get one mosquito bite and my face falls off.
That's Rita. I go see her and we'll sit on her back deck and I don't get a bite. And she's got a welt on her cheek the size of Texas.
I went in the spa the other day. You should see my legs. Because they get me when I got out. They all attacked my legs.
They really love her. And if they even come within a few inches of her, she breaks out in this giant whopping hive. And I'm like, that's not normal. But yeah.
Why do they find those of us who are allergic and seemingly ignore the ones who are not allergic?
Exactly. I think they smell something in our blood.
That's right.
That could be. Anytime we see itching, should we be concerned?
Look, any cat could itch once in a blue moon, just like any person. So if a kitty's grooming and you see them itching once in a while, you might want to just chalk that up to they're just a cat. Just like some people, right? I have an itch, I scratch it. But if you notice any acute episode of severe itching where the kitty is really bothered, certainly if they're self-traumatizing, or if you see any what we call lesions, meaning the hair is thinning, falling out, lumps and bumps, scratches, you know, scabs, or if the itching is prolonged, or certainly, you know, you always hear me say it, if they have any other symptoms of something's off, it's the itching and they're not eating. Those would all be criteria that say to me, come on in, let's take a look and have a conversation about that.
And I'm glad you said that about anything off. We were talking before we taped about my needy cat behavior recently and how alarming it's been. And when we were in session on Wednesday, Baca came and climbed on me, which she doesn't do. And after a little bit, first Rita was like, oh, and then Rita said, is she okay? And it's so funny because I remember thinking to myself,
behavior change.
20 years ago, I would have been like, wow, you're super loving. And now it's like, what's wrong? Because
exactly.
You're acting differently. So
let's take a little break and let's get into that a little further about how changes in behavior might be indicative of something that's going on. We'll be right back.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? Kitty Poo Club has solved the stink. And now the worst part of cat ownership is hassle-free. No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. And the best thing is, you don't have to buy some oversized contraption that will break down. Kitty Poo Club litter boxes are manufactured to make your life easier. You have one cat? Easy peasy. A small mountain lion? No problem. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Believe me, there are good reasons why we sold over 3 million boxes. Go to kittypooclub.com, read the amazing reviews, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back talking about dermatitis and itchy skin in cats with our favorite veterinarian, Dr. Kelly. So, Linda, you were talking about, and we've noticed your cats having some behavior changes in the last few days, it seems.
First, she was worried about Baca, and then Galway was climbing on me, and then she said, wait, are you okay? Like, are the cats sensing something? So, I don't know what it is, but yeah, you know, most people would be like, wow, you're really needy today, and we're like, what's wrong with you? So, any behavior change, any change we should be concerned about, right?
Yeah, any behavior change, you want to keep an eye on it. And if it's not rectifying itself, you want to go on into your vet, have an exam, have a conversation. It's better to be proactive.
I know it Definitely. Sounds funny to go into your vet and say, hey, my cat has a problem. He's more friendly. But if that's a total 180 from your cat's normal personality, yeah, that indicates something systemic could be going on.
Yeah, your normally friendly cat is isolating more, or your normally isolating cat is showing up more. I mean, right? Any change to their basic personality, had to throw that in there because, you know, cat bones.
One itching problem that I seem to have trouble conquering, when your cats are itching their ears and shaking their head. And we all know what that means. Ear mites.
Yes.
Well, and you've had, how many cats have surgery for hematomas now in their ears because of this?
Three. And one of them had it twice, so... Four. I had a hard time getting rid of the ear mites, and I have this awful suspicion they're back. Why are they so hard to get rid of? Where do they come from?
So ear mites seem to be somewhat ubiquitous. I'm not sure I can tell you exactly where their origin is, but they're pretty common and very transmissible from cat to cat. Think of it like the kitty version of, say, scabies, which is a mite that people can get that's very transmissible on clothing from human to human. And as the name says, an ear mite lives specifically in the ear. So this is the same advice I give to when one animal in the house is identified to have fleas, because we know how much they like to hop from critter to critter and how much they like to hide in the environment. So if there's one person in the house that's got cat in the house that's got ear mites, or one cat in the house that, you know, has, you find a flea, every cat in the house probably needs to be evaluated for that, possibly treated. Talk to your veterinarian. And you also need to talk to your veterinarian about the environment. All ear mites are not a critter that I would expect to hide in the carpet or, you know, on surfaces the way that a flea would. But you need to have a conversation with your veterinarian about making sure you're doing thorough treatment of any and all relevant environment and other animals, and also looking at what you're treating with and the duration that you're treating, and having a follow-up. So even if your kitty seems normal, your vet is doing some special test under the microscope to increase the odds that we feel secure that there's no mites left.
Yes. Can they cause major damage if left untreated?
The most common thing that I would expect to see would be some significant inflammation in the ear, as well as self-trauma. So when you mentioned the hematoma, to unpack that for people, that's basically kind of like a bursting of a blood vessel in the ear, which should be very thin and cartilage. And now you've got blood under the skin, and it's painful and it's swollen. It's very painful. And they do that by self-traumatizing from the itching. So that's really what I worry about, as well as potential damage or scar tissue deep in the ear. It's severe and untreated for a long time. In my experience, though, we usually can get that inner ear back on track if we treat, but we definitely with itchy ears, we want to rule out. And thank you for bringing up ear mites, because when we talk about the systematic approach to the itchy cat, and whether that's, again, scratching the ears, or whether it's over-grooming, or whether you just see the lumps and the bumps and the scabs, any of those things that we now know indicate my cat's probably itchy, even if we don't see them itching, we're going to rule out flea sensitivity. We're going to rule out if ears are involved, the ear mites, before we start talking about, is this a dietary allergy? And your vet will do what's called that elimination diet trial. And by the way, those need to be a strict diet for a minimum of 4 to 8 weeks to see if symptoms are going away, which can be a little challenging in a multi-cat household if they're all fed the same thing. But, you know, there's some creative workarounds.
We recently had a client who had her cat tested because she was having all these problems. The only two things the cat was not allergic to, and I really
don't understand
why they even found number two, but number one was pork and number two was kangaroo. Is someone making kangaroo cat food? Because I missed that. But I'm like, let me know where you find that, because I don't want any. But yeah,
I saw him getting ready to jump up there.
Yeah. Speaking of needy.
What if you can't get into the vet for a little while and your cat's suffering? Right now, my vet has a backup for visits of like 2 weeks to a month, depending on why you're coming in. What can we do to help relieve the itching before we see the vet? Or is there anything we can do?
That's a really tough one, because there's really not going to be any one magic bullet to give a kitty to relieve itching. There are certain over-the-counter antihistamines that are okay to give cats, but you'd want to be having a conversation on the phone with your vet or one of their veterinary technicians to make sure that they're saying, hey, see if it helps. This is what I want you to give, and this is the dose. Definitely never, ever buy anything over the counter and just give it to your kitty yourself. Make sure that that is still recommended. Antihistamines are not super effective in the cat or the dog. In some cats and dogs, they can be very effective, but kind of like with people, no one antihistamine is a guaranteed magic bullet. I would say to you, if your kitty is really traumatizing and very itchy, you can also seek care as an immediate relief, start the diagnostic testing, see what needs to happen immediately through an urgent care or walk-in facility. Now, I understand, especially where you guys live, that may not be super close to you, but there are a lot of suburban, not just cities, suburban areas and rural areas that do have veterinary urgent cares. And that is what urgent care is designed to do. Yeah, something that is not a life-threatening emergency requiring hospitalization or a 24/7 ER, something though that can't wait because it might be quality of life limiting or uncomfortable for the pet or the kitty loving friends that love that pet.
Yes, I know it's hard to sleep when Kismet has a dermatitis outbreak because the entire bed shakes all night long. And I try not to complain because I know he's suffering more than I do. But, you know, mama likes her sleep, honey.
Do you have any urgent care anywhere close to you, Linda? We have two, but they're both about an hour and a half away from me.
Yeah, there's an emergency vet that's a little over an hour away. but no urgent care. So yeah, I live in a very rural town, but hopefully eventually, like, right, like everybody grows up at some point. And, you know, I have hope that things will come.
Oh, you'll be down here by then, but that's a whole nother topic.
It's true too.
What else should we be on the lookout for?
So what I would like to empower pet owners to understand here, it's super important, is please do not feel that you or your kitty need to suffer in silence. Itching is, and or if you don't see the itch, but now we know if you find lumps and bumps, it probably is itching. You have to figure out why. Itching is a symptom. It's not a diagnosis. It's a symptom. But so many people, it's a common problem. It's a quality of life limiting problem. But the good news is it's a very manageable problem. There's a discrete and small list of things that cause it. Once in a while, we might find something weird, but when you hear hooves, look for horses. And in that spirit, there's that systematic approach to make sure there's no external parasites, treat for those. Your vet will be, this is a primary care problem. Just because your kitty's itching, you don't have to go to that board certified dermatologist right away. Get into your primary care vet. They know what to do. And they will send you to a dermatologist to partner with them if they need to do more advanced testing or the case is complicated, especially when we're looking at some of those environmental allergies and possibly doing some special blood tests or the skin testing. I didn't add in dust mites. Dust mites cats can be allergic to as well.
That's what they think is Kismet's problem.
It's not so much what else to look out for. It's more to empower kitty owners and pet parents to not sit in silence. I've seen many, many kitties where folks just didn't know that this wasn't normal. Oh, this is just what Fluffy has to deal with or contend with. And then when we do see that kitty, we've got amazing news we can celebrate. Story after story of kitties that had patchy hair loss. They would bleed occasionally. They weren't feeling good. They were really itchy. They were in pain in some cases. And we're able to find out what's causing that. We've got solutions for you.
What about stress? Does stress play any part in excessive scratching?
I am so glad you asked that question. This is probably one of the most common misconceptions surrounding the itchy kitty. Cats don't itch because they're stressed. They itch because something is going on. Now, of course, every cat could scratch once in a blue moon, right? That's just part of being a cat. But if your cat is constantly itching, something is going on. Stress is not the problem.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know.
I know stress can cause over-grooming, but that's not the same, right, as itching and scratch.
And
that's good
itchiness,
point.
Feeling itchy, that sensation could manifest as over-grooming as well. But the underlying sensation of itch, it's not a stress response. Kitty's got something going on.
Okay, that's good to know.
I want to go back to what you said about over-the-counter antihistamines, because a lot of people are going to Google what antihistamines are safe for my cat because money's tight and I don't have time and I don't want to go to the vet. Maybe just because I stink. I don't know. So my cats have been prescribed children's Benadryl before, but what you said, itching is a symptom.
Yes.
So if you are self-treating your cat with Benadryl at home, oh, look, they're not scratching as much. I feel good about this. But there's
an
underlying
problem. Your vet prescribed it.
Exactly. Yes. My vet said, hey, go pick some of this up and see if you blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so I just really wanted to make that point because Google being what it is, so many people are about to Google what it is to receive for my cat and start dosing them because they heard the vet say that there's some over the counter and then they feel good about that. So I really wanted to emphasize what you said, that it's a symptom, not a diagnosis.
And you bring up a great point that I will emphasize again to share your story. Your vet said, do this, because even if that medication may be safe and effective for some cats, your vet knows everything that's going on with your cat, not just the age, but other potential underlying conditions or risk factors to be able to say that that drug is safe. No drug, even over-the-counter medication, is inherently innocuous. So it is critical. I can't stress enough. And listen, we want you to call and have that conversation. If you call your vet and your vet says there is, or their technician, the superhero nurses at the hospitals who are in charge of us doctors in the best possible way, tell your vet techs thank you. They're magical. If you're talking to, you know, your tech or your doc and they say to you, hey, we really can't give you any recommendations over the phone, I promise you, kitty loving friends, we're not trying to make your life harder. It's because our first rule in taking our veterinary oath is to first do no harm. So we're going to bend over backward to give you a recommendation over the phone. If we tell you, you really need to come in and be seen, it's because we are trying to do right by your kitty.
I've had that happen where, you know, I have so many cats that have been through so many things. I've got lots of leftover medication, but I've had it happen where my vet will say, okay, hey, do you have any of this left? Okay, well, this is what you give it to them. And, you know, he doesn't even need to see them sometimes because he knows the pets. So sometimes you can get help over the phone or through text with your veterinarian tech.
And dosing is a thing. I mean, the cat on my shoulder is a two-ton Tessie. He's just a really big boy.
He's so
cute.
Then
I've got cats that are very tiny. I've got one that did not get proper nutrition when she was young, and she's a little dwarf cat. And so their dosage is going to be as drastically different as if I was dosing a five-year-old versus my grown self, right?
That is correct. And that's a very important point to add.
No over-the-counter without talking to your vet.
Yeah. So many things that have, you know, I know, what was it? When my daughter was having problems with her blood pressure and she was sick and I went to give her some cold medicine, I think it was. And she was like, oh, I can't have that, the doctor said. So yeah, everything is not for everybody, right? There's things with sugar that a diabetic should not have. You got to know everything we're looking at, right?
Yeah, drugs can have some interactions as well.
Yeah. Your monkey butt cat just joined us.
I know. I see
now,
that.
Now, see, with your cat, he's been turning gray and losing some fur on his back end. But there's nothing wrong with
thinner,
him.
Thinner, but he's passed the vet check. It's a little thinner and it's turning white, which makes him look like he has a monkey butt. Now, turn around, Deadpool. Let's see your butt.
No, he's not going to do it now.
Of course not.
But he was itching too, right? I mean, he just was scratching his tail a little
bit. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Well, I don't think, you know, not obsessively, but yeah, anytime one of them scratches, I'm like, what are you doing? What's going on? Check him out. And I'll tell you something. We took a first aid CPR health and safety course with Arden Moore for cats.
We need to take it again this year.
And one of the things she taught us was at least once a month to go over your cat's entire body. And I just make it like it's a petting session. The cats think it's great. I start at the head and I scratch under the neck and I go around the neck and I go all the way down the body and, you know, and look for any unusual lumps or bumps, or do they seem thinner, or, you know, that may be the only way you find out, right?
I love that. I love that.
We'll tell Arden you said so. Yeah.
Look at him looking at you.
Things. Deadpool.
Yeah, he until I said that, he was staring at you and his eyes are caught in that state where they were glowing a little bit. Like,
yes.
He is a devil cat. That is a devil cat.
He's a turd. I love him to death, but he's a turd.
Any last words for us? This has been so informative. Any last words for us, Dr. Kelly?
You know, I always have last words.
I love that.
I want to empower all your kitty loving friend listeners to, again, have a conversation with their vet. Itching is, in almost all cases, incredibly treatable. Don't let your cat suffer in silence. Don't miss it, because now you know what to look for. It's not just scratching. And bring your kitty into the vet. You don't need to suffer. Your kitty doesn't need to suffer. And, you know, again, go to urgent care if you need to. And if your kitty is complicated, seek out a board-certified dermatologist to get that answer. I promise you that'll be worth it. We've got about 23 or 24 of our 400 hospitals that have board certified dermatologists. And we also have dermatology for animals, which has 18 locations. It's dermatology only, who really robustly partner with the local vets in their area. Ohio, Maryland, New York, Illinois, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah. I could go on and on. We've got dermatologists in Hawaii. So you really just need to advocate for your pet and have a conversation with your veterinarian, and don't be afraid to see that board certified dermatologist after your veterinarian has worked their magic if your kitty is complicated.
And what's your website? What is your Thrive website?
ThrivePetCare.com. So ThrivePetCare, all one word, .com. And you can look into where we've got, if you are looking for a veterinarian, primary care docs, as well as where our urgent cares are, as well as where all of our dermatologists are. And you also can look into our Thrive Plus membership, which basically gets you unlimited visits and discounts on everything, because we really just want to make it as easy as possible for folks to go to the vet and spend the least amount of money to get the best care and decrease that barrier to entry.
Amen. That's every we all want
pet
that.
Owner's goal, right?
Without a doubt, especially when you have 11 or 17.
17. Well, some of them belong to the sanctuary, but yeah. So thank you so much for enlightening us about itching. I know it's a big topic in my house and Linda's too. Linda, do you have any last words for us?
I don't. This was great information.
Yes,
I learned a lot, and I think this is really going to benefit. I think the most important thing, I have this thing about walk a mile in your cat's paw.
She said she didn't have any last words.
You know what? I lied. I changed my mind. Although Arden said no cat would ever walk a mile, so maybe walk a foot in your cat's paws. But imagine if you're super, super itchy. Imagine, you know, that time you had pink eye or something. It's not urgent. It's not going to kill you. But nobody can deal with that. And why should we make our cats? Yes. And why are we going to leave our cats to suffer like that?
Exactly. I agree. So thank you so much, Linda, as always, being my co-host. Dr. Kelly, we love having you on every month. And those of you who don't know, Linda and I are teaching a class about introducing cats. We're developing a 10-part series about understanding cats, and this is class number 2. It's going to be held on Saturday, September 23rd at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's just $35. So we are limiting how many people are going to be in the class because we have a Q&A at the end. We want to make sure everybody has a chance to ask us questions if they have any. But we want to go through, you know, the basics of how you go about bringing a new cat into your household, blending two cats into a household when, you know, two people decide to move in together and each has a cat. Check it out on our website, catbehavioralliance.com. You can see the syllabus and the breakdown. And you definitely don't want to miss this class. If you're a member of our VIP Cat Club, which means you're a regular donor to our sanctuary, you will get access through the clubhouse as well to see it after the fact. But if you want to participate live, $35, price goes up to $40 on the 15th of September. And we look forward to seeing you there. I definitely will send you the information. Dr. Kelly, thank you for asking about that. I appreciate it. And thank you to Mark Winter for giving us this spot on Pet Life Radio. We are forever grateful. Just remember that every day is Cat Day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.